I'm going to reveal to you now what was told to me concerning the last 48 hours in the Donald Trump White House. Now, I made a video. It's on my Rumble channel. It's not here on YouTube. It's on Rumble, called Mike Pence, What Really Happened on January the 6th. Go watch it, and you'll see what really happened. Now, Mike Pence comes up again in tonight's class because the plot just thickens. It's amazing. As truth, I've always told you, truth is percolating. It's in the cooker, right? I've always told you that. And that steam comes out little by little. More truth comes popping out. Just before January the 6th, about 2 weeks before, the gentleman that I spoke with told me that he met one-on-one with Giuliani. And he had an audience with Giuliani. And Giuliani asked him, what do you suggest? This gentleman told Giuliani that the only thing that would work is for the president to sign an executive order demanding a full recount, sending in the National Guard to do a recount and to do it on live streaming during the whole event for the whole world to watch. This gentleman told Giuliani, he said at the end of that counting, which wouldn't have taken but maybe a week or 2 weeks, it's not that hard. You bring the whole National Guard in, start counting, it don't take long. And he said at the end of that count, if everything is legitimate, then President Trump needs to concede immediately. However, if it's not, then we go to Plan B. Giuliani thought about it. This is what was told to me, ladies and gentlemen. He thought about it, and he loved the idea. There was other people in the room that got quiet as they contemplated the idea. Now, the reason I know this is true is because I begin to hear whispers of this very thing about 2 weeks before January the 6th. It began to leak out. So I know there's some validity to what was told to me. When this source got up to leave the room, Giuliani walked out with him and told him these words. Great idea. If only we had more time. See, it's just like a football game. You may have a better team, but sometimes the clock beats the team. Well, Giuliani, from what the source says, never even told President Trump about this plan. However, the source was called to the White House to meet with President Trump. And this was about 72 hours before January the 6th. When the source told this plan to President Trump, the same one he had told to Giuliani, I'm told that President Trump got very angry at his aides and his assistants as to why no one told him about this plan. See, we have a problem, those of us that supported Donald Trump. Many people almost thought that he was a god, that he was omnipresent and omni-knowledgeable, that he knew everything. He had these grand plans, and we failed to remember that he was just a man that depended on his team to implement his plans. However, it looks to me like, the more I read this story, and I'm fixing to tell you the rest of it, the more that I read into that, the more that I see the problem. President Trump is a lot like myself. I'm a leader in God's church, and I'm blessed to have the gift of vision. I get big visions, and I cast those visions out to the people. But to implement those visions is not my specialty. To implement those things is not what I'm good at. However, without me casting that vision, those that are good at implementing it would never have anything to implement. Donald Trump was a lot the same way. He was dependent on his team, and this team failed to let him know what this source had recommended and what Mr. Giuliani had rejected. I'm told that President Trump told his staff to begin immediately implementing that plan where there would be a recount in those six battleground states. By executive order, he could have done it. The staff was preparing to do this. I know this is true because I was hearing this very thing through some of the whispers from Washington just before January the 6th. We were expecting it any moment. President Trump authorized it, told his staff to prepare to do it. Now, shortly thereafter, that day, the following morning, Mr. Trump got a call from none other than Judas Iscariot, Mike Pence. Mike Pence told him, like I told you in my previous lesson, that he was going to do it much easier than sending out the National Guards. He was going to stall the Senate for 7 days. He was going to stop the Senate, stop the counting of the electors, as was his right as president of the Senate. That was the plan. He told Donald Trump, told him he was going to do that. At which point, Mr. Trump called off Plan A. And you know, I would have done the same thing in his shoes. It's much easier to give these six states 7 days to recertify a new slate of electors and send those electors to the Senate to be counted. Much easier. This is what Mike Pence told President Trump he was going to do. You know the rest of the story. I'm not going to go into it tonight. The next day by 3:30, when it was too late to do anything, Mike Pence did a 180 and decided to do nothing. Now, President Trump had one true patriot in his cabinet on his team. I'm sorry, Giuliani. He had several. But there was one to me that's head and shoulders above all of them. General Mike Flynn. Mike Flynn was not a creature of the swamp. He was an American patriot. His blood bleeds patriotism. Mike Flynn was Donald Trump's greatest advocate for his agenda. And yet, there was one man that demanded Mike Flynn to be removed. You guessed it, Mike Pence. Because General Flynn would have implemented Donald Trump's strategy to begin with. He would have seen through this. Mike Flynn was a great asset to President Trump. But Mike Pence hated him because he was everything that Mike Pence is not. Loyal and a true American patriot. Not a Republican sellout. Mike Pence is owned by the Koch brothers. Thank you all for correcting me on that pronunciation. He was owned by the Koch brothers and Mark Short. And Mark Short was owned by the Koch brothers. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what happened in the last 48 hours, is what I'm told, at the White House. Now, discouraging? It could be. Unless you know a story that I'm about to tell you right now about two men. One was in charge, and one was right under him. One's name was Jesus Christ, or Yahshua the Messiah. The other one, he loved Jesus. He loved the Lord so much. And to everybody that was around him, he looked like he was behind the Lord Jesus 100%. His name was Judas Iscariot. Judas put on a great front, so much so that it even shocked himself what he did. The Bible says that Satan entered into Judas's mind. Maybe it was jealousy. Maybe it was self-aspiration. Maybe it was opportunism. But there was some thought process that entered Judas's mind that turned an otherwise loyal man into the betrayer of our Lord. So what does that have to do with Trump and Pence? Of course, I'm not comparing either man to either one. I'm giving you a metaphor. Because here's why. It took Judas Iscariot betraying our Lord for the greater good to come about. It took Judas doing that for the evil to be totally exposed and brought to the cross and eradicated. What does that mean for us? Here's what I believe it means. As all of these underhanded plans are being exposed, and I'll tell you who else is right there part of it, Miss Liz Cheney. Did you hear her today announce she might be running for president? Yeah? Did you hear her say today that we all need to accept the fact that Donald Trump is no longer the leader of the Republican Party? She said we need to look to Mitch McConnell as our leader. That will be the day, not for true patriots. So she said, see, here's the game plan. They're all trying to sweep Mr. Trump under the rug and get things back to normal. What they don't understand, we've been awakened. Judas Iscariot woke us all up. Judas Iscariot started a movement that is boiling over all over this nation. I'm going to every state in the Union to meet these patriots, to educate, to organize, to motivate, to link them together, because what Donald Trump started in this nation was a resurrection of patriotism. Patriotism was in the grave in America. We was resting on our laurels, dead in our own dreams and our own delusions of reality. But it was the Donald Trump that was betrayed by Mike Pence that literally brought us all forth from the graves of mediocrity, from the graves of complacency, realizing what a treasure we have in the Constitution of the United States, what a treasure we have in the Star-Spangled Banner, what a treasure we have in the government of a republic. We did not know what we were losing until we've almost lost it. And I believe it is this resurrection that's going to bring him back to his office. Why do I believe that? Well, number one, there was letters from a prophet that said he would serve two terms. I still believe that. But there's something else that's happening. Mr. Trump is leaving Mar-a-Lago and headed to New Jersey. Now, why is that? Well, some people say, well, Mar-a-Lago is closing for the summer. Yeah, the club is, but not his house, not his living quarters. So I don't buy that. He is going to New Jersey, and I believe he's getting there to reposition himself close to his fundraisers, close to the money, and also to separate him and DeSantis, because I believe Donald Trump's going to run again with DeSantis by his side, because there will be many people that wouldn't even vote for Trump that will vote for DeSantis. And now you have a New Jerseyite basically running and a Floridian. It's better to separate the two men. Put one in New Jersey, one in Florida, so you can get both of those states. See, ladies and gentlemen, there is a plan cooking in the cookery. And I believe that what Judas Iscariot did was resurrected our understanding of what's happening in America and in our own families and in our own society. So he's going over there, and I'm going to encourage Mr. Trump tonight. I read a great article earlier, and I want to echo that article to every one of you tonight. Donald Trump must run again, and he must not reinvent himself, but he must add to himself. Because I promise you, there are people going to be ready to vote for him starting in about 15 months from now when he announces his campaign, because things are going south. Have you seen gas prices? All right. Now, but what can Donald Trump do? What message can he hone in now to reach out and grab a little bit broader audience to bring him to the White House? I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe he should do. He needs to become the education president. The last time he was the Make America Greater president. But I believe he needs to now be Make Education Great Again president. And here's what I'm talking about. Here in the United States, from pre-K to college level, our educational institutions have curriculum that seems like it was written by the Communist Party themselves. Your children, all the way up to your college level, children are being taught critical race theory. Tomorrow night, I'm going to explain to you in detail about critical race theory. We must get it out of our schools immediately. And I believe if Donald Trump will run on education on top of everything else, but start screaming about American education, he will find those soccer moms. He will find those black Americans that are all against critical race theory that's being taught in our school. And then I saw an article yesterday of curriculum teaching about binary sexuality and all of these things to our children. We need a savior for our education system. And if Donald Trump will grab that message, he will bring into the fold even those mothers that don't like his personality. He can reach out and grab them. He needs to start right now heralding that message, saying it everywhere he goes, that we must make education great again. He would expand his base, because conservatives are not the only ones upset right now and appalled by what's going on in our schools. Oh no. They would welcome Trump taking that on. Even if they didn't admit it at first, if they heard that message enough and see their children coming home from school every day and hearing Trump say, make education great again, he'll grab some of them mamas that won't admit that they'll vote for him. And even the black population, they're being taught by critical race theory that because they're black, they can't be expected to complete math. What a bunch of bull. This is being taught. Tomorrow night, I'm going to break it all down for you. Critical race theory. Suburban women, they're ready for somebody to talk about education. And Donald Trump had already started on this before. I can't say what happened to him on YouTube, but before something happened, he had already started on these issues. He was already running with them. Do you remember near the end of his presidency, when he took out that phony diversity training, critical race theory, and the fundamentally dishonest 1619 project, And then he instituted the 1776 Commission. Do you remember that? This is the vein Donald Trump was headed down, education. But you see, Satan wants our education system. The liberals working through Soros and all of their puppet masters wants our education. They want to train our children. They want to capture their way of thinking and pervert it over to Marxism. Only we can stop it. Donald Trump can stop it. DeSantis can stop it. By executive order, they can stop it. We must go back to battle. If your children's not worth the battle, then don't fight. But now we must all unite together. Please hear me tonight. We must take up the flag and unite together as the Lord's army. Why? Because the Word of God speaks against the abominations that this administration is allowing in our land. We are on the side of the right. And when you're on the side of the right, you can rest in knowing the right is going to win. We must go back to battle. Tomorrow night, I'm going to teach you about critical race theory. Tomorrow night, I'm going to teach you why Washington, D.C. can never become a state and why I don't believe it ever will. So many things we want to talk to you about tomorrow night. Remember, Covington, Georgia, I'll be preaching in your town this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Sunday night at 6 o'clock. The information is in the description box. And you know what? I got some love letters in the mail today from you folks. Oh, my Lord. I just love you guys. Y'all are the bomb. Y'all are the bomb. Patriots, Renee from Hopkins, Minnesota. Marie from Mountain Home, Arkansas. Rosemary, Surprise, Arizona. Ella from Boise, Idaho. Tresha from Picayune, Mississippi. Matter of fact, Tresha, I need you to send me an email if you don't mind. I need to discuss something with you. And then we've got BrotherVaughn at gmail.com. Garcia from Hialeah, Florida. James from Loxley, Alabama. Jonas from Bunnell, Florida. Raphael from Tip City, Ohio. J.R. from Carson City, Nevada. Oh, Allison from Powers, Oregon. And Yolanda from Mulkey Town, Illinois. Gary from St. Louis, Missouri. Beverly, Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, I just love your letters. I love your letters. And for those of you that sent a gift to our local church, God bless you. I've prayed over them, asking the Lord to bless every single one of you that believes in the work we're doing here, that believes in this battle that we're fighting. You know, we don't feed you conspiracies. We don't feed you things that we cannot line up with the Constitution. We try our best to give you the truth. We try our best to keep you on the side of sanity so that you can see our path forward is a path of righteousness and a path of holiness. Listen, everybody, I hope you know tonight from the bottom of my heart how much we love you and appreciate every single one of you. Tonight, wherever you're watching me, please know that God loves you, that you're important to this nation, that your voice matters, and that we need for you to join us hand in hand and to stand for the right. Good night.